of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of our heart. In fact, it is the only critic that you have given us to judge our motives, our secret, silent, spiritual motives. And Father, you have taught us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, fully furnished to all good work. And you've taught us, Father, to study it, to show ourselves approved as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, learning to rightly divide your word. And so, Father, we always look forward to another time to open the Bible, your incredible word, and to begin to look into it and study it. And Father, tonight as we continue to study it, it's my prayer that it would sink sufficiently into our thinking and that God the Holy Spirit could use it to begin to change our thoughts, our words, and our ways, to begin to motivate us to love Jesus Christ more and to place on display the character of Christ before our family and our church family and our friends and before the lost, Father, to live that testimony that ultimately would draw them to Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would motivate us to begin to open our mouths and speak a word for you, to share the good news of Christ with our friends and those with whom we come in contact. And Father, I pray tonight that what we do here as always would magnify Jesus Christ, would glorify him in our midst. And we're grateful for that. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. The three verses here, first three verses. And remember, the chapter breaks in the Bible are not inspired of God. I hope you know that. Man put these chapter breaks here, not God. So really, these three verses end chapter 11 in the context, in the flow of the passage, these three verses end what we ended on last week. So in verse 1, we see, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. May God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word, and we do welcome you to Glendale Baptist Church. We're glad you're here, and we're about to shut this great book down, but we have one more study after this one to finish the book, and it's been a great time. It's been a good study, so we're looking forward to tonight, and again, it's good to have you here. Michael. I remember when you brought Bear and Tiny home.
Yeah, they were
that you brought them by here and showed me. You remember they jumped up in the window and I said, those are puppies?
They were as big then as our big dogs are now.
I know. I just hate you lost them.
Yeah.
I do hurt for Charlie. What I want to do is before we look into Daniel 12, I want to kind of refresh your memory on drawing a chart. It's so difficult to follow the bouncing ball in prophecy. to put all these many pieces together in your thinking without a chart to look at. And it's my prayer and my sincere prayer. I'm finishing a fourth book now called A Glimpse of the Chosen. And I have a last one that I want to write called A Glimpse of the Coming. So I have all those C's. I'm going to try to include all of these truths of the Revelation and Daniel that we have put together for you in a chronological order where you can begin to read it and you can go back and study it. That's what you have to do with a lot of things that I teach, is go back over it again and again and again. So I'm hoping to be able to do that. But before we have our prayer, let me just give you a kind of a background here to Daniel 12 and kind of plug into these three verses right where we are. I think we can do that. Remember our Cambron's top hat. That's the thing you need to put in your thinking, that Cambron's top hat. Remember that top hat looks like this. That looks like a top hat, doesn't it? I mean, you got to have a taller brim maybe, but you get the idea. And remember this is a prophetic line that begins March the 14th, 445 BC. And it goes all the way over to the cross of Jesus Christ. Can y'all see that back over this way? It goes to the cross of Jesus Christ. And remember, when Jesus Christ died, when he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and he ascended back into heaven at the ascension. And he sent, remember he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, God did something amazing there. He began the church. Up to that point, he was working with the Jews, remember? All the way through the Old Testament, just the Jews. But after Pentecost, he formed the church, and the Gentiles were then included in the body of Christ. Now the church is made up of the Jews and Gentiles in one body, the new creation in Christ. So we have in here what we call the church age. And that's lasted from Pentecost all the way until now. We're still in the church age. And the next event on the prophetic calendar, see, we're winning people to Jesus Christ. Well, the last person that we win to Jesus Christ in God's plan will end the church age, and that will bring then the Lord, we will experience what's called the rapture of the church. We'll be raptured out of here. When that last person is won to Christ, we're going home. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. You know, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So we'll say that's right there is the catching up of the saints right there. See, we're going up, boom, out of here. So that will end the age of the church right here. Church will be gone. Church won't be here anymore. So God then will plug back in the age of Israel, and he's going to finish 7 years in here. That's yet future. 7 years called in the Bible the tribulation period. 7 years will finish it. And it has a particular purpose. The tribulation is designed by God to purge Israel. Turn your Bibles quickly to look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 2. This has a context, but I'm going to jump right in here. I think you can understand this. Verse 2. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. We read, but who can endure the day of his coming? This is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. This is the purging that we've been talking about that's going to happen in these 7 years. And the recipient of the purging will be Israel, the Jews. See, they're living right now as atheists. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But God is going to bring pressure in their lives. And that pressure is spelled out clearly in beginning in Revelation chapter 6 and going through chapter 19. Remember, we went through those, the various judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. Remember that in Revelation? That's what God is going to use right in here to purge Israel and to punish those nations that are coming against Israel. This is future. We talked about that. We ended last week with the king of the south coming up, the king of the north coming down, and they're all meeting, remember, at Israel. They're after the natural resources. They're after that land. There's no nation on earth that's been hated like the Jews throughout history. Anti-Semitism, that's all satanic. He wants to punish and destroy. They're called the woman that gave the child. And the child, of course, is Jesus Christ. Satan has a hatred for that nation. And that's where anti-Semitism comes from. And that's coming. This purging is coming. Now look in Romans chapter 11. The Apostle Paul makes something very clear. Look in chapter 11, verse 1, begin there. Paul writes here, I say then, has God cast away His people? Now he's talking about the Jews. Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away His people, whom He foreknew. Or do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life? But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. God has always reserved a remnant. Always. And at the end of the 7 years, He's going to have a remnant that's going to be saved. This is what this is talking about right here. Let's read on. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now look over in, let's look at verse 11. I say then, this is talking to Israel, about Israel, the Jews, verse 11. Chapter 11. Have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the whom? The Gentiles. That's us. We got factored into the equation because Israel's blindness. But look in verse 12. Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now look down in verse 26. And so all Israel will be what? Saved. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Right here, we know about a third of the nation of Israel is going to be saved. Two-thirds are going to perish in the tribulation period. They're being pursued here by the Antichrist. And all these world powers are coming against them. That's what we're seeing in Daniel. But just before they're exterminated, Jesus Christ will come back. That's the second coming of Christ. And that's that passage in Zechariah that says they will look on him whom they have pierced. They did that on the cross of Calvary. And going to mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. They realize that he is the son of David. He is their Mashiach, their Messiah, the anointed one. And a nation is going to be born again in a day. Right there. That's at the very point that we're looking at here in Daniel. We've gone through that last time, all these nations coming against Israel. And we continue that very issue tonight in verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 12. We wind this thing down as to what happens at the end of this 7 years. And let me just finish this up. Up here, I'll just put the little chair there. The judgment seat of Christ will take place there. Over here, marriage supper of the Lamb. That's in heaven. That precedes the second coming of Christ. Here comes Jesus Christ. Now, he's not coming back for his church. He's already gotten his church. He's coming back to set up his kingdom. He's coming back to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, to lock Satan up for 1,000 years, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years right here. This is the kingdom. Kingdom age. So you see the whole thing right there, just spelled out for you. At the end of this time, the great white throne judgment will take place. The last and final judgment. This is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 14 is the passage. Is that not amazing? See, it all fits together. And this is why Paul calls this age in here the church age. He calls it a mystery. A mystery. We're living in an age that's mysterious. God is actually forming the new creation right now. And every time you lead someone to Jesus Christ, they're immersed into the body of Christ. They become a part of His body, the church. That's who we are. We're His bride. That's what this time is designed by God to do, to take out a bride for Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Isn't that great? We're His bride. And one day the bridegroom's going to come and get His bride. That's us. And we're leaving here to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But see, Israel's still in the play here. They're still in the mix. God has not forsaken Israel. He's not turned His back on the Abrahamic covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham, remember? When He walked between those sacrifices, He said, Abraham, I'm going to give you that land. It's yours. It's yours by divine covenant. I promise you, God says, I'm not going to go back on my promises. And He confirmed that with David, the Palestinian covenant, and the new covenant. It's all part of the same plan. Well, if you get this, you got it. You see this Cameron's top hat? You kind of fill in the blanks here. You'll catch it. And you see what a fascinating time we're living in right now. And you see why every time you look at the news, you think, Israel's still here. What are they doing here after all these centuries? And they still have the land that was promised to them by God, promised to Abraham. They still have it. Dr. Cameron used to tell me, Dick, if you ever get lost in the weeds, prophetically, just watch Israel. Watch what's happening there. And they are looking for a leader, folks. They are. They want somebody to bring peace to them. And He's coming. But He's going to deceive them. And He's going to try to destroy them. But in fact, He's going to be destroyed. The beast and the false prophet. Hope that puts everything kind of together for you as we go through this. But these three verses finish the purging of the Jews. Now remember, it's not a punishment of Israel. It will be designed to punish the nations that come against Israel. God will punish the Russians. He will punish the Chinese. He will punish those who come from the south. They're going to come from every direction to Israel. And we're going to be looking at this. People are going to be looking at this on the news, and they say, you know, the Jews don't have a chance. And from all appearances, they won't have a chance. Ah. But like I said, that's going to provoke the greatest rescue mission in all of human history. Their Messiah is coming back. Our Savior. One and the same. The Lord Jesus. That's what we looked at in the book of the unveiling. Remember I told you, I just wish I could pour that out for you to make it live in your heart. The second coming of Christ, and boy, you talk about the hallelujah chorus. We could never sing it like it's going to be sung that day. Because we're going to see Him face to face. So we come now to Daniel chapter 12, and that's exactly what these three verses do. They work their way down. We worked our way down to verse 1. I want to have prayer together, and I want to launch into it quickly, go through it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I think we can put it together in your thinking so that it'll make sense. I always think that, don't I? Let's pray. Father, I know that I cannot teach your word because I'm a human being, but I know that God the Holy Spirit's our great teacher. And He can put things together for us. He can make it live. And He can teach us. And as we understand prophecy and pre-written history, Father, it just quickens our pulse. And we realize that our salvation is right on the horizon. Our redemption draws nigh. We're going to be redeemed, taken out of the slave market. And Father, we're looking for our Redeemer. We're not looking for the grave. We're looking for the one who's to take us out of here. And I pray that His coming will be soon. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I thank You for our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. At that time. Now, what time is He talking about? Look back in verse 40. Of chapter 11, verse 40. At the time of the end, you see that? That's the time we're talking about in context. We're talking about the time of the end. Now, not the end of time, but the end of the tribulation period. The end of that 7 years that finishes that 490 years that we looked at back in Daniel 9. So we're winding this thing down. Now the purging is happening. It was started back in those verses that we looked at. Israel's now running for their very lives. But at that time, something's going to happen. Watch. At that time, Michael shall stand up. Now this is not Michael Prestridge. This is Michael the archangel. Whenever you see Michael, somewhere in the context, there's Israel. Because Michael has an assignment. His assignment is a Jewish assignment. He's to protect God's chosen race, the Jews. He is their protector. He's their defender. He is not going to let them die. He's going to protect them. He's going to preserve them until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So Michael here shall stand up. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. This is talking about the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now this is the tribulation. This is that refining we saw back in Malachi. This is that purging that we see that's a part of the tribulation period. What I want you to understand and keep in your mind is what I believe. I'm a premillennial dispensational believer. That is, I believe the church won't be here. Aren't you glad? Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think we're going to be here. I think we're going to have a ringside seat for all this. I think we're going to be through the judgment seat of Christ, through the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be united with our Savior. And when He comes back, we're going to come back with Him. Isn't that great? So we don't have to go through all this. But that doesn't mean that we are not to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love the Jews. Every true believer in Jesus Christ has a love for Israel. And you may not even understand why, but you love them. And when you see their, all the news that's happening, you say, you know, they're blind. They're blind. They don't see the Messiah. They don't know Jesus. But he's still their Messiah. And what's going to happen is God's going to begin to put the pressure on them like they have never experienced in all of their history. And if you know anything about history, the Jews have been through a lot. The First and Second World War involved the Jews. Persecution. Read the books. So here Michael stands up. Now they're going through now the time of pressure. Their time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Now that's some heavy stuff right there. You can just imagine. Well, we went through that when we looked at the last chapters of the book of the unveiling. What horrible times Israel is going to go through. Even to that time, now notice this, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Now this is talking about the elect, the chosen race of Israel. That's what we saw in Romans 11. The elect nation. God says, I have a remnant. And he will save that remnant. About a third of the nation of Israel at that time are going to be protected by Michael. That's the idea. He's going to put a hedge about them. He's going to drive them to hide. And he's going to preserve them. He's going to use many of the Gentiles to feed them, to take care of them during that time. But they will be preserved. And they will be alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. They will see him. But many will die. Two-thirds of them are going to die in the process. And that's what brings up the second verse. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now this appears to be just a general resurrection. But indeed, this is the first resurrection. There's only one resurrection, but it takes place in stages. This is the first resurrection. And then there is a final resurrection. But this one has to do with Israel. Remember when we went through Revelation, we saw a lot of Jews being killed. A lot of them being slaughtered. Well, look, hold your place here and just flip over to Revelation chapter 20. These are the Jews that are going to be resurrected who are going to go into the kingdom alive. Into the thousand-year reign of Christ alive. Now look in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads, or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? For 1,000 years. Now, but look in verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. First resurrection. So these are Jewish saints that come through the tribulation period. I'm talking about back in Daniel chapter 12. Jewish saints that come through the tribulation. And I read a commentator tonight before I came that says that he believes that's the Old Testament resurrection. All the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of them who died will come forth at that resurrection in Daniel 12. Don't let it confuse you. It's just that the resurrection is going to take place in stages. It's just not one gigantic resurrection. And the idea in Daniel, look back in Daniel. And many who sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life. Now those in my mind are those who were beheaded, who did not take the mark of the beast, who were killed for their faith during the tribulation period. And I think that's rightly dividing the word of truth. Now obviously some of them will end up in shame and everlasting contempt there. Many will not be with God forever. Many of them will not live. Now, in the final resurrection, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 14, in the last resurrection, that will be those who know Jesus Christ. And by the way, when the Old Testament saints die, their body goes back to the ground, but their soul and spirit go to a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. Paradise in the Word of God. If they do not know Jesus Christ, if they did not know God, they went to a place called Hades. Hades. Not Gehenna, hell. Hades. Hades is a holding place for departed spirits in the Old Testament prior to the death of Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus came back from the dead, remember when the resurrection occurred and the graves were opened? Do you remember that in the Gospels? And the graves were opened and gave up the dead that were in them. The gleanings, as it were, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, there's no longer, we don't go to Hades, we don't go to paradise today, we don't go to Abraham's bosom today. When we die today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of His death and resurrection, we go straight where? Absent from the body is to be what? Where? Present with the Lord. We don't go to a holding place. When you close your eyes in death, the next face you see will be Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to understand, because I'll confuse you if you don't understand that. But the Old Testament, unbelievers, Old Testament, and unbelievers even now go to Hades. Look over in Revelation. I didn't want to do this, but look in Revelation chapter 20. Look in verse 13, Revelation 20, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, now notice, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now look in verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into where? The lake of fire. So what I'm saying is Hades is not Gehenna hell. Hades is just a holding place. It used to be Abraham's bosom, but when Jesus died, He did away with Abraham's bosom. He freed those who were locked in Abraham's bosom to be with Him, and they went home to be with Him. So today when we die, we see Jesus Christ. We don't have to go anywhere. Our soul doesn't sleep. We don't go to purgatory. Isn't that good? We go face to face with Jesus Christ. But the resurrection is different. There is going to be a final resurrection. There will be a final resurrection, but it will be an unbeliever type resurrection. And when unbelievers die, they die. They're separated from God. They face real death. Physical death is separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is separation of the soul from God. That's death. That's the death that Jesus said, fear. Don't fear losing your physical life. Fear the one who can take your soul. That's what He said. But at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection. That's what I'm saying here in Daniel. This is not talking about the final resurrection. Let's go back, because I need to wind this thing down. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, that's a tremendous compliment coming from Almighty God. But I believe it has a direct application to those saints at the end of the tribulation period, although it could have a reference to us. I mean, I would like to think that those of you who share Jesus Christ and you're used of God to change the minds of people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you lead many to the Lord, I would love to think that you're going to shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. I mean, that'd be great preaching, wouldn't it? That'd be a good, pleasing message for us to hear. But I believe that we're going to receive crowns for what we do at the judgment seat of Christ. And for sharing the gospel, there are crowns for doing that on a regular basis. For those who share Christ, there's going to be rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, tremendous rewards for doing that now. So there's a good motive for doing that. Tremendous motivation. That should drive you to want to be the recipients of crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. See, there's two major judgments, judgment seat of Christ, but the great white throne. You don't want to be at the great white throne. That's not where you want to be. And those of us who know Christ won't be there. Hope it's not confusing to you. The only way to really get this, the only way I'm going to have to teach this is write a book. Just write it out there and just put it out in plain English. Let you read through it. Look at the passages. But even then, it's complicated because it just goes around so many different places. And you have to pull all the pieces together from here, from here, from here, from here, and put them together. But if you'll remember this out of what we've studied so far, if you'll remember that the tribulation is for Israel, not the church. You will have won a victory right there. You can say, and praise the Lord. Then you'll start praying for Israel in a new way. And you'll recognize that Daniel is really all about the beast and the false prophet, where the unveiling, the revelation is all about Jesus Christ. It takes the veil off of him, and Daniel takes the veil off of the beast and the false prophet. It features him all the way through, the enemy. And you know what? He may be alive right now. It's amazing to see what's happening in the world. He may be alive right now. We may be that close to the second coming of Christ. Oh, would that not be a blessing? I've had one of the down times of my ministry at Glendale is performing funerals here. It breaks my heart to see the people go to be with the Lord from here. It's my prayer that we just go to meet him in the air. We don't have to go through that. Because I don't want to preach your funeral. I want you to meet the Lord in the air. And that's what my prayer is, that even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And he could at any time do that. This could be the night. This could be, tomorrow could be the day. We're going to just be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Just keep that in your thinking. And that's really basically all you need to know is we're looking for him. Well, let's pray. Father, I know that all of this, there's so much that we do not understand. And there's so much that you've given us to put together and to frame it in such a way that our mind can grasp it in a chronological way, we can think through all the pieces and put it all together. But Father, we just, through human words, do the very best that we can do. And we have to leave the result to you. But we do realize that we are told to look for the coming Savior. He's coming back to receive us to Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. And that's what we focus on, the catching up of the saints. And Father, it's never our desire to be scholarly or skilled in rhetoric and skilled in speech and use big words. It's our desire to teach, to bring comfort to the saints. Father, I pray that we've achieved that purpose. Thank you for our time this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate very much.